Dear friends, today is the Feast of the Ascension of our Lord. The Epistle for the Mass is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, the first chapter. The former treatise I made, O Theophilus, of all things which Jesus began to do and to teach, until the day on which, giving commandments by the Holy Ghost to the apostles whom he had chosen, he was taken up, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many proofs, for 40 days appearing to them and speaking of the kingdom of God, and eating together with them. He commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but should wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard, saith he, by my mouth. For John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. They therefore who were come together asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? But he said to them, It is not for you to know the times or moments which the Father hath put in his own power. But you shall receive the power of the Holy Ghost coming upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had said these things, while they looked on, he was raised up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were beholding him going up to heaven, behold, two men stood by them in white garments, who also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand you looking up to heaven? This Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come as you have seen him going into heaven. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 16. At that time, as the 11 were at table, Jesus appeared to them, and he upbraided them with their incredulity and hardness of heart, because they did not believe them who had seen him after he was risen again. And he said to them, Go ye into the whole world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. And these things shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay their hands upon the sick, and they shall recover. And the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God. But they, going forth, preached everywhere, the Lord working withal, and confirming the word with signs that followed. Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. When he had said these things, while they looked on, he was raised up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Words taken from the Epistle of the Mass, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, the Epistle for the Mass of Ascension Thursday is actually unique among the epistles that we hear read throughout the year. Usually the epistle is an instruction or an exhortation from St. Paul or St. Peter on a particular virtue to practice or a vice to avoid. Whereas the Gospel of the Mass is a historical account of some event in our Lord's life. But today is an exception to that rule because it is the epistle which tells the story of the first Ascension Thursday. It's taken from the Acts of the Apostles, which was written by St. Luke. And St. Luke explains exactly how our Lord returned to heaven after his resurrection from the dead. St. Luke begins by explaining that our Lord remained 40 days on earth after the resurrection, speaking to the apostles about the kingdom of God and proving himself to be truly alive. In fact, there are 11 instances recorded in sacred scripture of our Lord appearing to his followers between Easter and the Ascension, and we can be sure that there were many more instances besides these 11. It's actually a very little known but very beautiful period in our Lord's life, this 40-day period which comes to a conclusion today. Not only did our Lord appear to the apostles, he manifested to them over and over again the signs of true friendship. He listened to their doubts and their concerns. He let St. Thomas touch his sacred wounds. He dined with the apostles. The Gospels tell us that on one occasion, even after the apostles had labored all night at fishing and caught nothing, not only did our Lord provide them with fish by a miracle, but he even cooked a meal for them at the shore of the lake. Sacred Heart of Jesus spared no effort to convince the apostles and us that he was indeed risen from the dead, and that his love and care for us was no less now that the work of our redemption had been accomplished. Finally, however, the time had come for him to leave. As long as he was in the world, the apostles were going to cling to him because they could not imagine carrying out the work of the church without our Lord. But if our Lord left them and sent the Holy Ghost upon them instead, then they would be filled with the courage and the zeal necessary to carry out their mission of bringing the world to the one true faith. And on that last day of our Lord's time on earth, the apostles asked him with eagerness if now was the time to restore the kingdom of Israel. Because without the Holy Ghost to enlighten them, they still had these vain and these worldly visions of an earthly kingdom. But our Lord gently told them not to think about such things. He said, "It is not for you to know the times or moments which the Father hath put in his own power, but you will receive the Holy Ghost coming upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the uttermost part of the earth," he said. And so in an indirect way, our Lord did actually answer their question. They asked when he would restore the kingdom of Israel, and he commanded them instead to go to the whole world and establish his spiritual kingdom, even to the utmost ends of the earth. Now, as they had been speaking of these things, they had been walking, our Lord and the apostles, they had been walking to the summit of Mount Olivet, which was a small mountain outside of Jerusalem. And upon reaching the summit of the hill, there came the final parting. Perhaps it had not yet dawned upon the apostles what was happening, but as our Lord embraced each one of them one by one, and most especially when they saw the tenderness with which he held his mother, they knew then that he was saying goodbye. And then standing a little apart and with his eyes raised to heaven, he began to ascend. By his own divine power and by the power of his glorified body, Jesus Christ left this earth and passed body and soul into paradise. And as the apostles stood gazing up at our Lord, watching him pass out of their sight, suddenly, sacred scripture says, there stood beside them two men in white garments. They were angels from heaven. "Ye men of Galilee," they said, "why stand you looking up to heaven? This Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven shall so come as you have seen him going." As God the Father sent an angel to comfort his Son in his agony in the garden, now he sent two angels to comfort the apostles, to remind them that this was not the end. They were going to see our Lord again. That someday he would return. He would return just as they had seen him leaving them. And so this was no time for sorrow or fear. It was a time for rejoicing. For the Son of God had entered into his kingdom. And so it is that while today's feast may seem bittersweet in a sense, as the joyful season of Easter comes to an end. We think of our Lord returning to heaven again. Still, the Feast of Ascension is a source of joy and holy hope. The Last Supper, our Lord spoke at length of his departure and why it was necessary for him to leave. He said to the apostles, it is expedient for you that I go. That is, it is necessary for you that I go. And if I go, he said, I will prepare a place for you. Today, now he has gone to heaven. And he has gone to prepare a place for us there. We rejoice with him today because Jesus Christ has reopened the gates of heaven closed by Adam's sin. And he is sitting at the right hand of his Father, drawing us to himself and to the happiness he has prepared for us. We were under a curse and condemned, writes one priest, but now we are bought back by the blood of Christ. Christ is in heaven, drawing us after him. He is our advocate with the Father, pleading on our behalf, living always to make intercession for us. In heaven, he is still our Lord and Master, calling, entreating, commanding us to follow. Come, ye blessed of my Father, come and possess the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And so this is to be our hope, our certainty of victory if we are faithful. If we want to ascend with Christ, then we must loose ourselves from whatever binds us to earth. Wealth, possessions, amusements, and pleasures, they are nothing compared to the kingdom prepared for us for all eternity. So you must keep your eyes fixed on heaven, and if you do so, you will keep yourselves unattached to these things, the things of earth. And above all, we must never become discouraged or despair of our salvation. Our Lord said that the power of darkness would have its hour, but that it was only temporary. The victories of evil are shams which do not last. And the temptations of the devil are tricks which cannot overcome us if we look to our Lord and to his mother with confidence in prayer. In the city of Istanbul in Turkey, which used to be Constantinople, there is a beautiful mosque known as the Mosque of Saint Sophia, or Holy Wisdom. And of course, it was originally a Catholic church. It's considered to be one of the most beautiful churches ever built. When the Mohammedans took control of it, they painted over all the Catholic pictures and inscriptions and symbols, as if by doing so they could get rid of Christ and his church. They replaced these images or inscriptions with Muslim paintings. One day, an American tourist was going through the mosque, and he noticed on close inspection that a picture of Christ ascending into heaven with hands outstretched in blessing, this picture was coming through the paint that had once tried to hide it. And this American said to himself, not without a feeling of triumph, he said to himself, indeed, Christ always comes back. You cannot blot him out. Through the plaster and dirt of the years, he always comes back, because he promised he would. And when he does, those of us who are found faithful will hear from him those words of approval and reward. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.